In the book of Philippians, we find the Apostle Paul commending a young man named Timothy. And we can read about that in Philippians chapter 2, if you'll turn there. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. I'd like to tell you a little story, though. It's a true story about, I know the best way to tell a story is to tell about yourself, so I'll do that. When I was a young man, I looked for heroes. I wanted to find men that stood for something and that were faithful and true to the Lord. I was often disappointed because the pedestal that I put them on in my mind didn't hold up well. In some way or other, they always let me down. My conclusion was that I was looking in the wrong place and expecting too much from the men I knew. As I grew older, I looked at the Bible characters and studied their lives and accepted their faults. One person I thought I could go with was Timothy. He had some major attributes that I thought maybe I could emulate. The spiritual growth and godly counsel finally taught me to look to Christ. Now there's a novel thought. He doesn't let us down, but not to look to anyone else. So we are not to make Timothy our hero, but there are certain lessons we can learn from what Paul wrote about him. And I'd like to read that passage. He is writing to the Philippians, but he mentions Timothy, and in the next, after a few verses, he talks about Epaphroditus. And we'll focus in on Timothy today. The Bible says in verse 19, Philippians 2:19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And there are people that you bring to our attention that have qualities that we might see where we can grow in those things, not setting them up as our guide or our hero, but to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as they do. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And Timothy did that and followed Christ. And we want to do that too. So these lessons that we learned from this passage, would you put in our hearts? You might carry him with us, that you might continue to mold us to the image of Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, if you back up a chapter to chapter 2, there's a verse there that we spent some time with last week, and I'd like to repeat it. In verse 12. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian church, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And Timothy was one who learned to work out his salvation. On Paul's second missionary journey, well, let's go back a little bit. Paul set out from Antioch, that was his home church at the time, and that church prayed that God would raise up people to go out and share the gospel. And God laid it on the hearts of that leadership to set aside Paul and Barnabas to go out and share the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. And as they went out, Paul came to three towns in southern Turkey, wasn't Turkey then, but it was in the Roman Empire, and it was Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. And those three towns, Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel. In Lystra, the people reacted to them because a lame man was healed. They reacted to Paul and Barnabas as though they were gods. And Paul, being the spokesman for he and Barnabas, they both went through the crowd, but he was the most outspoken one. And they took Paul because he resisted the offerings that they brought, thinking they are gods and we'll worship them. And they said, no, we're telling you about the true God. Don't offer anything to us. Don't sacrifice anything for us. And because they resisted the Lystrians, I think that's how you say it, that they stoned Paul. And they took him outside the city as dead. Well, that was his first missionary journey. He got up and he went back into Lystra and spent the night, and the next day went on to the next town of Derbe. But there must have been someone watching and listening to Paul, because he had been preaching. And that man was Timothy. And when Paul came through on a second missionary journey, he'd been away for a while, he came back, and the second time through, he picked up Timothy to join the ministry team of now a different man, Paul and Silas. So he was probably converted by Paul's preaching, seeing God work through him, even in a stoning, that God would raise him up again. And then with his follow-up, Timothy said yes and went along with Paul. As he served with the apostle, he learned Paul's teaching. He learned the scriptures at home. Paul makes reference to that in 2 Timothy. That he learned the scriptures from his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. And so he was taught at home, and he learned what were the scriptures that he would have learned. It starts with an O. Old Testament. The scriptures for him were Old Testament. The law and the prophets and the wisdom teaching of the Old Testament. And so he was taught at home, but then when Paul came along, he learned what we would call New Testament teaching. The gospel of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the freedom from sin and the law being set aside now, because Jesus Christ fulfilled all of that and we're made perfect in Christ. In 2 Timothy, you know, I keep thinking when I'm studying, I got to prove what I'm saying, because you're going to sit out there and think, I think Brian's making this up. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. When Paul was writing to Timothy, verse 10, he says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, the persecutions and sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured." See, there Paul says, I know that you know. And Paul can write about Timothy that he is commending him, that he learned the scriptures, and then he learned the gospel, he learned all the ways of Paul as he accompanied Paul in his ministry. So God worked in Timothy to will and to act on God's good purpose. Just as chapter 2, verse 13 says, God worked in Timothy to want to and to do, to serve the Lord, along with the Apostle Paul. Well, Timothy became a trusted associate with the Apostle Paul. So when they would go to a town and someone would say, "You're new in town, aren't you?" And he would say, "I'm with him." And Paul would be preaching, and Timothy would be serving alongside of him. But Paul could trust Timothy not to get sidetracked. Verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. Timothy's going to go. The sad thing that we read in the Bible sometimes is that the servants of a prophet in the Old Testament, or someone that worked closely with Paul, at a time would come that he'd desert. Demas deserted Timothy, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Demas was one of the close young men to the Apostle Paul. An Old Testament character was Gehazi, or Gehazi, and he was Elijah's sidekick, his helper. And at a time, he did exactly what the prophet said wasn't going to happen. And he took Naaman's generous gift instead of just letting Naaman understand that it was the Lord who healed him. So Paul is sending Timothy. I hope to, in the Lord Jesus, to send him soon. This was in an age where news was hard to get. We're going to be going to Kentucky. I'm debating for a week that we're out there whether to take my cell phone with me. No, I'll probably have it because I might want to write to you guys. But this was what Paul was living in, was days before cell phones. There wasn't that instant communication. There wasn't even telegraph. .it, .it, .dot, .dot, you know, Morse code. They couldn't, it had to be word of mouth. It had to be by letters sent by runners or people traveling. And he said, I'm really, really hungry for news about you guys. I really want to know how it's going with you. And so that's why he's sending Timothy. Hope to send him soon and get news from you. Without those other means of communication, Timothy would be trusted to bring back news of the Philippians. But Paul gave his son in the faith the highest commendation. When he sends Timothy, he wants them to understand the quality of this young man. In verse 20, he says, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. No one else like him. Well, I wondered, and I think I put it in the notes too, did Paul exclude all his other associates? Didn't he have other young men that he was mentoring? Didn't he have Titus? He had, at one point, Aristarchus was also along with him. He had various ones that came along, and he would say, this is written by this person, or I'm sending this person to you. And he had other associates. But I think what we need to do is read it as those that are available to me. I have no one like Timothy. In all of Rome and in all of the Roman church, I have only Timothy that will genuinely care for your estate, take interest in your welfare. I think Paul was feeling something of what Jesus felt too, of people that would come up to him and say, Master, I'll follow you. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus had that experience. Was it 13? Matthew. Well, I'm not lying, but it's in here somewhere. And Jesus said, foxes have dens and so on, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay down his head. And another one comes up and he says, well, I'll follow you, but first let me. Okay, there's a phrase in there that we want to stay away from. If God calls us to do something, okay, but first let me take care of my interests. And another one came up and said, let me go bury my father. Well, it doesn't say his father was dead. His father was 54 years old and thriving. But let me be with my father until his death. And Jesus said, you know, let the dead bury their own dead. You come, follow me. And what Paul was experiencing may have been something of what Jesus experienced of, you know, if you need someone to run over to Philippi, I'd be happy to do that. But I've just got a few things I need to finish up. Let me take care of my things first, and then I'll go. Is that what he's saying here? What was the reason that he only had Timothy? He said, everyone looks out for their own interests and not those of Christ Jesus. Everyone's busy with their own stuff. Can you identify with that? Do we get busy with our own stuff? Does God ever prompt you to do something that you say that's not very convenient right now? You know, let me put it on my calendar. How about, you know, I got an appointment for my car. And because of the condition of whatever the workman's attitudes anymore, the earliest I can get my car into a shop that I wanted to get it into is October 12th. I made that appointment 3 weeks ago. And that was the earliest appointment. They have their own interest. They have no interest in Brian Smith. That was repulsive to me. But here's the Apostle Paul, and he's checking out. Are you available? I need someone to run a letter over to the Philippians and then bring me word about their welfare. Will you do it? Well, you know, I'm busy. Over and over again. He says, I'm going to send Timothy because he genuinely cares for your welfare. The others care for their own and not Jesus Christ's. Remember what the key verse is in the book of Philippians? Remember the key verse? We can turn back a page and just review it a second. It's Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Philippians 2:4 is a key verse. It helps us understand the whole theme of Philippians. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And what's the key word for Philippians? It's in that verse. What was it? Others. Good. Very good. The key word throughout Philippians is looking out for others, putting others first. If we think of that, we won't think of others as being interruptions in our lives. It's God's appointments instead. Well, Paul gave reason for people to trust Timothy. In his serving with Paul, he says in verse 22, but you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Timothy proved himself, and Paul highlighted that also. I hope you don't mind me putting in your notes something that's not in the Bible, but it comes from Marvel comic books. The dynamic duo of father and son. Like a son, he served with me. A son and father reference. And we can accomplish so much when we work together. And the Apostle Paul referred to Timothy as his son. He is his son in the faith. it may be on that first missionary journey, having been taught the Old Testament, Paul telling how Jesus fulfilled that, Timothy said, that's right on. And I believe. And Paul considered him a son in the faith. They were able to accomplish much more because he served in the work. Now, some might harbor resentment at being asked to serve. Huh. I wonder who isn't guilty of that. Have you ever been guilty of that? I've got to raise my hand, but don't you raise yours. There have been times I just say, you know what? That's really not my bag. That's not what I want to do now. More of my story, it was interesting to me that God would put me in a position to do something that I didn't care to do. When we first went with rural missions many years ago, and I loved, kind of like Jack, I loved doing the Bible camps. I could do that over and over and over again. But when I was a kid, I went to Vacation Bible School. And I was bored out of my mind. I wasn't ADD, I just couldn't sit still. And in those days, you had a book to fill out, and you had the parts of a clothespin to put together somehow. And I don't remember any playtime during those Vacation Bible Schools. Maybe I just ran too fast and it went right on by. When I went to ministry with the rural mission, the first thing I was told, we went in January and we were told, this is the time we start preparing for Vacation Bible School. Really? You've got, I don't know if I had five the first year. We had a few different Vacation Bible Schools. But there had already been college-age students that were recruited to come and help us. So we had to know our stuff, get it all lined out, and be able to teach the teachers when they came. That's not my idea of a good time to start this ministry, except that God used, like here, God used Vacation Bible School to reach families and kids. And that opened the doors. From a Vacation Bible School at Ledor, a Bible study was started. And people came to know the Lord up there at Ledor. And that's just my guilty story. Confession is good for the soul, and I feel so much better now having told you. But I have a little magazine article here I'd like to share with you. It's from Voice of the Martyrs. And the president wrote about the battle every Christian is in. But I think Timothy proving himself with the Apostle Paul, they were very well aware of the spiritual battle. And I'd like to read this as a reminder to us of the spiritual battle we're in as well. Cole writes, our battle is not against other people, but rather the spiritual forces of evil that hold them captive. In obedience to Christ, let us resolve to pay the price to see the captive set free. Our enemy wins if we misunderstand the battlefield, spending our resources on lesser objectives, fighting and clawing for the things of this world instead of working for the benefit of God's eternal glory. Our enemy wins if we allow the message of Christ to be weakened or corrupted in order to make it more palatable to the whims of the fallen world. And our enemy wins easily if we are loud about other things but silent about the goodness and greatness of our Lord. Now, the title I gave this message was to invest our lives, a life invested. And we need to invest our life because Satan never gives up. Satan doesn't take vacations. We take vacations, but we take the Lord with us. But we need to know that Satan is always hammering away at us to try and get us to water down the gospel, don't share the gospel, be inconsistent in living the gospel. And as the VOM president reminds us, that our enemy has all these captives. Our enemy is not the people. Our battle is against Satan. And that's what prompted Paul, I think, to want to hear from Philippi, to have Timothy go and then come back with word of their welfare. Satan hasn't made inroads there, has he? Has he gone about like a roaring lion, and has he kind of devoured someone's testimony? Have they fallen away? He wants to get word back that they're doing well. He was anxious to know about their welfare, but he was uncertain about his own. He says, I hope, in verse 23, to send Timothy, send him, as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. He was anxious to hear how his children in the faith were managing. And he wanted to encourage them also, that Timothy could say, this is what's going on with the Apostle Paul. There was something that was uncertain, though. And you know from stories and from reading history and whatever ways you picked it up, that Nero was not a nice man. And Nero was persecuting Christians, and he was finding reasons to do that, whether they were true or false. He was persecuting the Christians. Remember what Paul had said when he was still in Israel? I appeal to Caesar. That means I'm going to stand before Caesar on trial. And he couldn't determine ahead of time how that trial was going to turn out. I believe, and not everyone follows the same track in history, but I believe Paul was set free after a couple years. Look at the book of Acts. He was under house arrest for 2 years. And then I think after he wrote Philippians and Colossians, and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, in that time frame, that he was set free for a period of time. And then he was re-arrested, and he did stand trial before Nero, and he was executed. So at the end of 2 Timothy, he says, I've finished the course, I've run the race, and I'm done. But at that time right now, he is saying, I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I'm uncertain because I have to see how things go with me. The Lord graciously gave the Apostle Paul more time. We don't know how far he went. There isn't any biblical history about him going to Spain, but there is tradition that he made it all the way over to Spain and be able to encourage the churches that he started. Well, a lesson that we can learn from this passage is that we, like the Apostle Paul and like Timothy, are never to give up or to quit. When our interests override the interests of our Savior, we're treading awfully close to the edge of uselessness. If we put our interests first, why does God have us here? To bring us back. Only a Christian and God knows where you are for sure. No one else has any business deciding that. But whether we are on vacation or retired, even when we're sick, we are still to live for the one who died for us. God is faithful to his word. He saves sinners from their guilt. He forgives rebels of their hatred. He draws the wayward to the safe haven of his love and acceptance. Where are you? Will you confess today that you are ungodly and come for forgiveness to the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn our backs on what was the guilt, the enmity against God. Turn our back on that and turn to him for forgiveness, for salvation. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that you save people. You save Paul from being a blasphemer, a persecutor, an ungodly man. You made an apostle out of him. You took a young man from a mixed home and you made him one of the great associates of Paul. You've taken us from all these different backgrounds and you've molded us into assembly and a church to be a lighthouse in our valley, to be your servants, to invest our lives for your glory, for your purposes. I pray that we'll serve you without murmuring or complaining, but be quick to prioritize your word. Thank you, Lord, for working in our hearts, for the fellowship, for encouragement we give as we pray for each other in Jesus' name.